Important and hot topic these days is creationism versus evolution. And, you know, a lot of people like to separate Bible and science because of this theory. And for Christians, we want to prove creationism is correct. And, you know, as a student myself, I'm wondering, how do we prove that to our fellow classmates?
You have mentioned, many people think that Bible and science do not go along together. But there is a it is important that they have to know that Bible and science actually has to go in perfect harmony. And if we go to Romans 1, what verse is it supposed to be? Romans 1:20, is it? It says, Romans 1:20, it says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So from the nature and from the science and every living thing and every living creature, that we should see God, you know, we should see his creator. So the science has to go with the Bible and the Word of God. And nowadays, the people think that evolution is becoming like religion, like a part of a religion, because scientifically, I think evolution takes more faith than to believe in creationism. So because, you know, scientifically, evolution is a lack of evidence. However, creationism has a lot of logical evidences that we can prove. It doesn't have to be in the Bible. We don't even have to look at the Bible. We can just look at the laws of nature and the science. Then we have a lot of evidences to support that creation is true.
You know, I've heard of, there's a man named Lenin, and he said, "A lie told often enough becomes truth." And really, this is a big issue for especially people who want to be medical missionaries. It is, it is necessary for them to study evolution. And because they keep studying it, they get confused themselves, like, is this real or not? And, it's scary sometimes to really see that happening.
Like, really, when the evolution, the idea started to become popular, like, even the media and all the other people, like, started to talking about it, just like how, it didn't become theory now. It just became the truth and how, you know, the earth were created and all the living creatures. So, you are right. I think he's right. A lie told often enough becomes a truth. So now majority of the people, even some Christians who are, who happen to believe that evolution is true.
Yes.
And there are, so like basically there are two types of ideas that people believe. First one is like, the intelligent design. People believe in intelligent design versus accident / mistake. And of course, intelligent design, we believe that God created us. There is a supreme being who created all this nature. Certain way. So if we believe that, then there is a purpose in life because there was a creator. However, if you believe in evolution, that means you don't have a purpose in life. You're just come out of accident. You were happened to made in mistake. So, evolution really kind of, I think, gives people confusion sometimes because it could give you really no purpose in life. And many people don't want to believe in creationism because they don't want to be responsible or held accountable of God and what he's telling us. And Satan tries so hard for us to believe in evolutionism because if you don't believe that there is a creator, then you don't have to be accountable to sin. You don't have to be responsible for, oh, should I sin or not, if you believe in evolutionism.
This comes down to you just getting what you want.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
And then that leads to people like feeling, you know, if we have God, we have a purpose in life as being Christians, but then if they believe in evolution and that there is no God, then they find no purpose in life. And actually, that's the reason why the suicide rate is really high among young people, especially between 11 years old to 25 years old.
Yes, and I heard like when evolution was started to become popular and they allowed it to teach at schools, the suicidal rate among teenagers went high up. It's a true known fact. So I thought that was very interesting.
And the fact is that even that kind of mindset seems to creep into the way that we teach our young people as well. I remember in high school learning about carpe diem. Carpe diem. I don't know if you ever learned about it, but it's a literary style, or not a style, but kind of a mindset that people would have when they would write poetry. And essentially what it meant was enjoy your life today because you don't have tomorrow. You may not have tomorrow, so just enjoy all the pleasures that you can today.
Is it like a psychological term?
I heard it used in the context of poetry, and the style in which they would write would be exactly that. That would be the mindset that people would have.
Yeah.
They called it carpe diem.
I know, like, there are songs, like, you know, I can't remember a certain song, but, you know, like, there are songs be like, be happy right now, because, you know, they're, you know, that you could be really dead tomorrow. So, you know, live your life like fully up to however you want.
And I remember before I became a Christian, that was actually one of the arguments that I had. Hey, I said, life is short. Why not enjoy it? And so, hey, why not go to parties? Why not do drugs and things? Because it really doesn't matter.
But, you know, that same concept could be also used for our benefit of mindset, in that if we, you know, how we believe in God and we could really die anytime also. And we could use that saying, you know, are you ready to meet Jesus when we die? Is your character are you living the way Jesus wanted you to?
Sure, that would be a correct way to look at it. But then it would be the way that evolutionist, mindset of an evolutionist would be, there is no life after. Yeah. There is no reward afterwards. And so, hey, enjoy your reward now. Why deprave yourself?
Yeah. And this is something like, you know, like a devil really plays into, because, you know, we know that the sin's wage is the death. What is the exact?
Wages of sin
wages of sin is death. Yeah, so that's exactly why Satan just wants you to think that way. And especially for young people, because, like, young people can do so many great works in God if they are really godly young people, and Satan attacks young people the most.
And because evolution has gotten so popular among schools and stuff, I feel like it is an easier way for Satan to get through young people and to give them, like, wrong concepts. And actually, you know, we talked about true education in the past, but really, you know, when I'm doing homeschooling right now, and they gave me an option to choose either ecology or evolution. And I was very grateful that they respected, like, our religion in that sense. And, you know, they did say you have to study evolution though if you're going to be a biology major. But they would only, like, briefly state about it. They never went thoroughly into it. And so that actually made me more confident that, oh, you know, creationism is true. I mean, why else would they give you an option if they really thought evolution was true?
I have to say that there are some schools or there are some counties that respect them, but most of the schools nowadays, the, you know, evolution, the subject is mandatory. And I remember when I took biology, my science school teacher, biology teacher, she was a Sunday school teacher and, you know, in her church. So I told her, I asked her, I was like, you know, you're teaching evolution, but you believe in God. You believe in creationism. And she said, yes, I do. Actually, the more I study science, the more I teach about it, I find that how much science and Bible goes along with together. And she recommended me this video. Like, this video really shows you like what kind of things in the Bible, you know, match up with the science facts and stuff. But she told me it is unfortunate, but I have to teach it. You know, it is mandatory. It's mandated. So it is kind of sad fact that, you know, the government or, yeah, I guess government. Yeah.
It, even in those situations, it can still be taught not as truth, but just to let people know these theories do exist, and that's how it is. But then we don't necessarily have to buy into it, say that this is actually really true. Even if the government may require it.
But if it, like what, you know, Michelle said about this person who quoted, a lie told often enough becomes true. If, you know, government's making it a mandatory thing, and we do hear it, you know, throughout our ears in high school or middle school, then sometimes we get to a mindset where we think it's true, no matter how much you denied it in the first place.
Then I think before you go to those schools, like at homes, like you parents especially need to teach their children, no, you know, creationism is more logical, not evolutionism.
That's kind of funny, because people think it, you know, evolution is logical because it is science. But when we think about creation, they say, oh, it's kind of like fiction or a, you know, fairy tale story.
Kind of have to leave the logic at the door before you can accept faith. But when you look at the definition of faith, the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
That is.
And also, like the evolutionism, most of them they go against science if you really detailly look at it. So there are some like you know, logical reasons why we think that creationism is true. So we would like to share with other fellow Christians, because when you get into topic with, you know, atheists or evolutionists, then you could you know, lay out this kind of logical reasons and then talk about it.
The first one is intelligent design. Now, if you look at the screen, there is a picture right there. Two pictures. One on the right is
picture of New York City.
Yes, picture of New York City, and on the left is just a simple cell that's in our body, and we have millions of those cells in our body. Now, if you think about New York City, Manhattan. Considered most busiest place on United States. I'm not sure about in Earth, but it is the most busiest place, especially during rush hour. Try to imagine what happens during the rush hour. All these cars going by, you know, thousands of people just walking, running, and you know what they do. You know, while they're walking and talking, and it just seems busy, and you know, it's kind of complicated. But if you think about a cell that we have. And we have a lot of these. And I heard that a simple single cell is more sophisticated than the whole rush hour time in New York City.
One single cell.
Yes, one single cell is more complicated and more sophisticated.
Sophisticated?
Yes, made than...
Amy, and also, like, sorry to cut you off. Also, if you just think about it, like, a cell really is perfect. It's so detailed, and everything works in together. While in the city, everything is, it seems like someone just threw everything in one area.
And like, just the things in there and how they work, each cell, even in the cell, has its own role. At the same time, it's made certain ways so it could function together.
I mean, the picture right now looks very colorful, and it looks like, you know, like, oh, you know, fun and things like that, but I'm pretty sure it's constantly like, moving, like, this thing's doing that, this thing is doing that, and just imagining and, you know, just comparing with the New York City, like, thinking that one single cell is more complex.
Yes, one tiny thing you can't even see. Mm-hmm. And you know, we have not just one.
Oh,
but,
yeah, we have
you know,
millions.
Yes, millions of them. Millions, yeah. Billions of them.
Wow.
And it's working in our body every single day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah. you're saying like, because of these intelligent design.
Yes, you know? it can't. This I don't know how this could be made,
just
perfectly, like a snap.
Like
you know,
because like
this is made so perfect and so complicated.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really imagine this being, you know, made
being accident.
Yeah.
Yeah. Made by mistake.
Yes. And second one I want to talk about is the complexity of life. Well, I have here, it's a Canon camera, 50D. I don't know if anyone knows anything about this.
It's a good camera.
Yes, it is a pretty good camera. I borrowed it from a friend, but you could tell already that it has a lot of buttons and it has a lot of things that, you know, I don't know anything about either. But even in here, this is man-made. Think about that.
Oh, no, not think about that. Like, anyone could see this and say, wait, do you believe that this was created by some man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is, of course, created by a man.
Uh-huh.
I mean, no one's going to be like, oh, this came out of some explosion out
or
of
like
nowhere
a bomb.
And just exploded, and then it just came out to be like this. And I think that would be ridiculous if someone says that. And each part in here, let's say the lens or even flash or even this single button, if it was missing even one part of this camera, the camera would be useless. No matter how much money they spent on buying this camera, if one little thing, let's say just the lens, is missing, you can't use this camera at all. It just becomes a junk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so even a tiny little thing, a material in here is important.
It's serving a purpose.
And it has its own purpose in to make this actually work.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that, our bodies have, you know, separate parts and different parts that's made different.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that we are created with an explosion of just a big, powerful explosion, and just we just were made just like that. This complex body,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's ridiculous to think that that could actually happen.
So first of all, you know, like we said, intelligent design, the design that we have in our body, and then and wherever, like, you know, that God has created in the nature, it is very intelligently designed and very complex. And also Stephen mentioned the complexity in life, how, you know, like everything serves a purpose, every living thing. And also the third thing that I want to mention is a symbiotic relationships. That I want to tell you guys that there are some plants or flowers rather, if it wasn't for some bugs, then they would not have been there. Because like these certain bugs are pollinating these flowers are, you know, made and still, you know, alive. And
wait, before you go on the plant stuff, and I forgot to mention that even how we look at different societies or even in animal kingdom, we see that if you have maybe, you know, evolution is a theory where one animal has evolved at, you know, during certain time, right? And if we think that did actually happen, think about animal kingdom. If each animal needs the other animal in order to live,
mm-hmm.
and if one animal has evolved and say that this the other animal who did not evolve was supposed to eat this animal, but if the animal that was being eaten has evolved, then this has no food. This animal has no food anymore.
So I'm saying, like, you know, this symbiotic relationships, what it's telling us is that everything here on Earth had to be created at the same time, you know, because we are so dependent on upon each other. Like, everything is related and connected in somehow. That's what symbiotic relationships talk about. And also, next thing that I want to talk about is the law of entropy. Now, I don't want to go into the details of what entropy means or the law of entropy means. You can find out in the, on the computer yourself. But what it's basically saying is everything falls apart if you don't take care of it. Okay, so the garden, the grass in your front lawn or something, if you don't give the water or if you don't take care of it, then it becomes a jungle and it dies down and, you know, something like that. So, like, it's telling us that we have to, you know, take care of it. Now, the idea of evolutionism deteriorates the order of the Earth. It is actually scientifically, you know, going against the science because, like, the law of... yes? Help me out.
Okay, yeah, things get less efficient and it seems to downgrade over time more than getting better over time if you just leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And to suggest that some things are actually getting more advanced and more and better over time, it seems rather not true.
Mm-hmm.
We can even see that, like, even in the previous generations, people's minds used to be a lot sharper than even our minds today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, that's the law of entropy.
And then next one I want to mention is, does anybody... perhaps know where this is?
Grand Canyon.
Yeah, and actually the next one is Flood of Evidence.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you guys been there?
Yes.
Oh, really?
I haven't.
You really guys need to go there. Yeah, it's really very amazing.
But, you know, water, you know, you can see that the river is... very on the bottom, and then you can't really see here, but it's really high. The rocks are all different, and people saying this was through thousands and thousands of years of erosion.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not really true. That it can't make sense because the water level proves that we used to be on higher ground.
Wow.
And also, you know, if we think of Noah's flood, that was a lot of rain that wiped out all of humanity. That would have caused a lot of erosion
not
by itself.
Not just humanity, but the whole earth creatures.
You know, just with constant rain for 40 days, I think that would have caused a lot of erosion itself, not through thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if we look at the next pictures, this is Paektusan in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And what this is just a mountain, and on the very tip of the mountain, it's just like a bowl of water.
Mm.
And... you know,
but the size is just not like tiny.
Yeah, it's really big.
It's a lake. It's a lake.
But this also shows that, you know, the water level, we used to be on high ground.
Yes.
And also, if there's something called cataclysm, which is when fossils form, they have to be covered by mud in order to. What happens is, like, there's mud here, and let's say there's like a fissure, and it's because of a tsunami or flood that the mud comes and covers that organism, where thousands of years, it just stays like this and becomes a fossil eventually.
Mm.
And, so, you know, Noah's flood, I'm pretty sure, caused a lot of mud to fall on a lot of organisms. And scientists don't want to say flood because that means it's creationism.
Mm.
So instead, they say it's an asteroid.
Like for dinosaurs. I heard that before.
It doesn't make sense, though. Because if, let's say, lava comes and covers us, I think we're just going to... you know, dissolve, and because it's so hot and stuff, we're not gonna be having the same form.
No. Right? Like, asteroid means, like, there was a, you heard this, like, when there were dinosaurs, like dinosaur stories, the asteroid came, and then there was a great flood, and that's how, because of the flood.
Because of the flood,
you know.
I always thought it was lava.
They didn't want to just. Yeah.
And another thing that proves that this flood did happen, recently there's been an article. Well, actually, someone found Noah's Ark in Turkey, in Ararat, Mountain in Turkey, and. You know, they actually have a whole video you can look up on YouTube where it really matches the dimensions of the Bible that God gave to Noah to make this ark.
Mm.
And, you know, this proves again that, you know, Noah's ark exists, the flood exists, and then God does exist. Creationism is true.
Mm.
I found out that article, that news have kind of died out after first time it was discovered.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but people stopped, you know, broadcasting or something about that article.
Yeah, and to next one is talking about living fossils, and I want to continue on about fossils, that people say creatures evolve, but creatures have evolved to new species, but there are creatures right now that also have fossils from that wasn't from long time ago. And you know, even presently, if we have a tsunami, or I'm pretty sure in Japan there might be a fossil of like a tuna or something. Mm-hmm. And fossils don't necessarily happen from thousands of years, like it being old, but as long as it has that decades. Impact of mud and that organism and for a period of time, then it could become a fossil. Mm-hmm. And actually, there is a fossil. This is a fish, and it's called Soelacanth. And people say that this fish lived in water, but it would like to walk on ground, and that's how it evolved into different organisms. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't make sense, because this fish lived in the deep part of the ocean, so it had no interest in walking. I'm pretty sure it couldn't even breathe on land. And also, I just want to give another photo of a horseshoe crab.
Wow, that looks interesting.
Yeah, that's a fossil horseshoe crab. And, you know, all this tells us that, you know, it doesn't make sense for long time ago species to have evolved. Mm-hmm. You know, people think it takes like thousands of years for it to happen, mm-hmm. for a fossil to be formed.
Millions.
Yeah, but it's just, you just need that perfect combination.
So you could still have the fossils like over decades, mm-hmm. like a few decades, you're saying. That's interesting. And also, I want to bring up the topic of microevolution. Now let me read your definition of what microevolution is, because some people believe in microevolution. The definition is evolutionary change involving the gradual accumulation of mutations leading to new varieties within a species. So microevolution doesn't mean, you know, like gradual, like not gradual, like
instant.
Yeah, instant change, instant, you know, evolve. Yes. And microevolution actually means, like, can you, the dog, if you look at on the screen, you're going to see the pictures of dogs. Now, they're all same species, right? They're all dogs, but you could definitely tell that, you know, all these dogs are, like, different types of dogs. Now, these, they are kind of called microevolution because they're the same species, but they evolved into different types mm-hmm. of, you know, like, things. And also that happens within the people too. Can you can look at this picture, or you can just look at, you know, people around here. We're all different. We do have two eyes, we have one nose, we are same species, but, you know, it's variety, you know, mm-hmm. we have variety. And that's what microevolution is. People think that, oh, you know, because of microevolution, like in millions and billions of years, people could have evolved, and gorillas could have evolved to make the people. But that's not it. You know, microevolution is within the same species still. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like how you mentioned gorillas. A lot of scientists say that we are very close to an ape. Mm-hmm. Okay, humans are very mm-hmm. close to an ape. But, I mean, we've been still trying to find the missing link. But we still haven't found any. The missing link from ape to who we are right there.
Yes.
And we did not find it yet.
So we have fossils, and we have record of apes. And all different shapes of apes, but apes slowly starting to rise up and start to stretch their backs and becoming a man we don't have, right?
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Yeah.
And how can they say that we have evolved from ape? Mm-hmm.
Yes, and also I wanna also say something about next one, which is similarity between species. And similarity, we are similar because we live in the same environment and have similar necessities. Like, people might say humans are similar to apes because we both live on the ground, we both need mm-hmm. food, water, shelter, and but that doesn't mean like humans
evolved from like certain things.
Yeah, it just means we're similar in that way. And then, you know, for example, humans and fish, we aren't similar at all because fish live in the water and we live on ground. Mm-hmm. The environment is totally different. Yeah. And that just proves again that evolution cannot really exist.
Mm-hmm. And also, I want to talk about the dating dilemma. Not the dating when you go with a girl and a guy, but dating, like, as in, like, dates. You know, people trace back, like, isotopes, and I don't know all the scientific things. You can go on the Google and find it out yourself. But, you know, like, people say, oh, I date this fossil, or I, you know, like, measured its isotopes or whatever.
Carbon.
And then, yeah, carbon and whatnot, and all those things, like, and then it all traces back to the millions and billions of years. But that is actually, you know, it's a dilemma. People have it. It's not actually the certain dates. It can't be, because if you think about it, let's say you burn a candle. Now you can, you know, by calculating, you will know how, like, how fast a candle is burning. Yeah, you can calculate that because you can keep burning the candle. Oh, okay, yeah. But you don't really know how tall was a candle in first place, because you were never there. I mean, I'm saying in our point of view, we were never actually in the first, we were there when the earth or the world was created. Like, okay, so do we know, were we there when God created us? No, like, we don't know that. But I think it's better than believing in bombs and how, like, Big Bang Theory and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, yes.
And speaking about Big Bang Theory, I just want to say, you know, they say that there was an atom that caused this explosion and everything just came out. Well, something had to create that small atom in the first place, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for me, that always kind of didn't make sense to me.
Yes.
But I want to go to our next proof, which is history of history.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are a lot of ancient buildings, even from South America or Asia. Yeah, and this is actually an ancient building from Egyptian time, from a long time ago. And
oh, I want to see pyramid. Do you have pyramid?
Oh, I don't have pyramid.
Oh.
But I think we all know what pyramid looks like.
Yeah.
Yes.
But built these ancient buildings, and if you look in the documents of history, they've not built more than 4,400 years ago.
Mm.
So before then, there's no records of any buildings, and people say, like, oh, this is a million years old or whatever, but that's not true. All records say only up to 4,400 years.
Yeah.
And
history shows that.
And it tells us that 4,400 years ago, man was still intelligent enough to create these buildings.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, around 4,400 years ago was when Noah's flood occurred, if we match up Bible time record. And also, the oldest tree in Bristol Cone in California is 4,300 years old. And that is the oldest tree that we have to record. And basically, no living thing on Earth is more than 4,400 years old. So people saying Earth was millions, billions years old, that is not true, according to history.
Okay.
But not only looking at ancient buildings or anything like that, if we just take a look at ourselves today, if we look at, let's look at the population growth. If you look at the graph here, okay, the graph starts in 1300, and it goes to 2000, which is about now, you know, 10 years before. But you see how the population growth has exponentially grew, right? And the population has been always growing. It has never, you know, decreased, or it has never stayed the same. It always has been growing, if you look at the chart.
Including the factors of, like,
disasters or any deaths. But population seems to grow all the time.
More
newborn babies or people staying alive longer. But think about this. If what people say in their theory that the Earth was billions of years old, and let's say Noah's flood never happened 4,400 years ago, if that is true, the population right now will be overflowing and will have people shoulder to shoulder in around the world and also top of each other.
Oh.
And it will still not be enough to contain all the humans that has, you know, lived.
Wow.
You know? And
talking about all the food.
Yes. Talking about all the food, yeah. We're running out of it just can't make sense without the Noah's flood that people from that long ago, if they actually, you know, population grew from then on till now, the earth will be overflowed with people.
Oh, and just, I learned this graph at school too. If you trace back and if you keep going, this is not actually infinity. This is not. If you keep going, it ends about 4,000, exactly 4,400 years ago when it was Noah's flood time.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. Anyways. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those and are the 12. Do you have more things?
Yes, there's one more actually. And this is explaining, it's called DNA migration map, which means where every human being, one human being has evolved, not evolved, they were
originated
from. And you see that big star, that's where everyone originated from.
Mesopotamia area.
Yes, yeah. Mesopotamia, which is, in the Bible, it says that was where we were.
Not we were, like Adam and Eve.
Yes.
Also talking about DNA, I just want to say that, you know, even the person who discovered DNA, the professor, they asked him, oh, so, you know, DNA came from all this evolution, whatever, that, where did it very beginning come from? And the professor said, oh, it came from aliens.
Aliens?
Yeah, and then, well, you know, there, I heard this from a pastor.
No, my God.
And the pastor was like, who created the aliens then? You know, so everything, even Big Bang Theory, there has to be someone who created that.
Yeah.
So, you know, just to review everything, 12 logical reasons why creationism is true is 1, intelligent design, 2, complexity of life, 3, symbiotic relationships, 4, the law of entropy, 5, the flood of evidence, 6, living fossils, 7, microevolution versus macroevolution, 8, missing links, 9, similarity among species, 10, dating dilemma, 11, history of history, and 12, population problem, which we have today.
And all these scientific facts are not coming from Christians. It's all based, and it was all from, like, you know, the scientists and evolutionists, actually. Yeah. You know, and the DNA migrating, you know, map that Stephen or Michelle showed us, that's actually evolutionists who have made the map, not us, not Christians, or anyone who has to do with religion. So,
and you know, I think really science and Bible, the Bible and science can go perfectly together because God is the ultimate creator. I think he is a master artist in this world and that
master scientist.
Maybe. And master scientist, yes. I believe he has more knowledge than all the scientists combined today in this world.
Amen.
So, you know, I hope this helped like prove that creationism is right.
You could always search more into it in depth, not just listening by rumors.
Well, in closing, I want to, you have all provided very good evidences to suggest that creationism, or we don't even have to say creationism, intelligent design, we don't even have to mention God into it, but even just intelligent design is actually very logical. And it does take more faith to believe in evolution and Big Bang Theory than to believe in intelligent design. And what a lot of people do is they take the they become so wise in their own eyes to the point where, as the Bible says, they become fools. I remember hearing this one story of a man, a newborn Christian, who was so excited about the Bible because he had just become a Christian, he had just accepted Christ, and he has begun to read the Bible, and he's reading through it, and he says, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord!" He's so ecstatic about what he's been hearing and listening to, and an atheist nearby came by, and he says, "Excuse me, I just couldn't help but hear their rambunctious noise of hallelujahs. Can you please tell me, pray tell, what is it that you're reading?" He says, "I'm reading the Bible, and you wouldn't believe what God did. God split the Red Sea, and the children of Israel walked on dry land." And the evolutionist said, Come on, how could you be so naive? you are so imbecile to be able to believe such a thing. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the Sea of Red Sea. That was the Sea of Reeds. It was 6 inches swamp. They didn't walk on dry land. They walked across a 6-inch swamp. Mm. And so, well, thank you for that correction. He felt like he was put in his place, and the evolutionist just like, I did my job and did a good job in putting him in his place. And then after walking a few blocks, he hears the same man again saying, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." And he comes back and he says, "Didn't I just tell you that they walked across the Sea of Reeds?" And he says, what just happened between then and now? "Sir, you're not going to believe this." He says, "You're not going to believe this, but God killed the Egyptians with 6 inches of water."
With?
wait, I don't get it.
Oh!
Because you know how, after they crossed the Red Sea, the Egyptians came to kill them.
Ah! Oh, sorry. I didn't know. Oh, that's funny. Okay.
Well, yeah, the Bible does say that we, in our own imagination and in our own thinking, that we become wise, we actually become fools. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes what I have actually found is that when I am trying to speak with an evolutionist or a non-Christian, somebody who is not wanting that God exist, when I'm speaking with these groups of people, I find it that it's genuinely true. It's not because there is a lack of evidence, but it is because they are suppressing the evidence, mm-hmm. as the Book of Romans actually tells us. Mm-hmm. And I can't help but think of Paul as he was on Athens, Mars Hill, and as he saw the temple dedicated to an unknown God, he begins to reason with them and use his logic, because he was a lawyer he was a Pharisee, and he studied logic and all these things, and he began to reason with them, and in the end they said, "These are very interesting things," but it's never recorded that they actually really accepted Christ. Mm-hmm. But then next time he goes to the city of Corinth, and he decides that he's going to change his method, change his style, and then in 1 Corinthians, he says that in verse 2, he says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Mm. And so when he came into the city of Corinth, he decided, "I'm not going to use logic. I'm not going to use man's wisdom. I'm not going to use my own intelligence, but guess what? I'm going to preach Christ and Him crucified." When he preached Christ and Him crucified, the people of Corinth broke. They realized their own sinfulness, their own wickedness, and later on they came with the city of Corinth. And we have the record, two letters that were written to the church of Corinth. And so one thing that I can say, all from experience as well as from the Bible, is that you can argue with an atheist all you want, but in the end, what is ultimately going to convince them, what is ultimately going to save their souls, is Christ and Him crucified. The Bible says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto Him, unto me." And we cannot preach Christ to people if we have not yet accepted Christ ourselves. Mm-hmm. So before we even go on to argue with a evolutionist, one thing that we must have within ourselves is Christ crucified ourselves. Mm-hmm.